Please welcome Rob e Simeone.
Thank you.
Simon.
Beth? Is it working?
Yes, I think we're all good to go.
Okay.
Hello, welcome, thank you for coming. My name is Simeon Vincent. I'm a developer relations engineer working on Firefox add-ons. Oh. Who are you?
I'm Rob Poole. I'm working on the web extensions team at Firefox on the extension APIs that can be used to build extensions.
Today we're going to be talking a bit about building cross-browser extensions in 2024, Manifest V3, cross-browser web extensions, all that good stuff. So in case you're somehow not familiar with extensions, they're personally one of my favorite aspects of the web platform. Web extensions are little programs, essentially, that allow you to customize how the browser looks and feels. A couple of examples, tree-style tabs will add a tree of pages as you browse the web on the left side, or I guess in the sidebar. uBlock Origin probably needs no introduction with this crowd. So it is a content blocker that allows you to block pieces of functionality on web pages. And Dark Reader, as a kind of contrast to some of these other things, allows you to have your preferences. Like if you prefer using dark mode, Dark Reader will enable that on websites, even if the websites don't support, the website author didn't create a dark theme for your ideal website. Web extensions are a cross-browser extension model originally developed by Chrome, and now all browsers are aligning around this particular approach to designing extensions. Over the years, there have been a bunch of different ways that browsers have tried to provide ways of customizing or personalizing the browser experience, and the web extension model is particularly interesting because it is built using web technologies. It's built on top of the web platform itself. When you customize your browser using a web extension, the author was using HTML, JavaScript, and CSS to build that experience. Web extensions as a cross-browser thing originally started with Firefox building a new extension platform based on Chromiums. And since then, Safari has adopted it, and it's before Edge adopted Chromium as its base, they also adopted the web extension model. So this is, while it's not like a standard in the W3C or other standard group, it is a cross-browser effort. All of us are working together in the web extension community group in the W3C. And in addition to browsers, the community is also involved, providing feedback and helping evolve and enhance the extension platform. So today, we're going to take a closer look at how to build some extensions with a mindset towards maximum compatibility with current browsers, with new form factors like Firefox for Android. You're now able to have your web extensions available on your mobile phone, and how to kind of maximize compatibility as you build out a new browser extension.
Okay, so as the first demonstration, we are going to show how to modify a website. That's a very common task. Most extensions that are just starting out want to enhance a website in some way. So this is a very simple extension. This consists of two files, a manifest.json file that declares some metadata such as a name and version of the extension, not very important for the rest of this talk, something about the manifest version which will become more significant as we see later, and a content scripts entry that declares which file should run and where. In this case, it declares to run on every site. The exact demo doesn't really matter. In this case, we are just going to register a click handler on the document that shows a dialog when you click it. And now we're going to try a live demo. And so first, can you connect your Android phone?
Oh, yes.
Okay, while he's connecting his Android phone, I'm going to type the comment. So there's a WebEx tool that is a program that allows you to run or build extensions very easily. It takes care of looking up the location of the browser binaries and packaging the extension and launching it without effort. So WebEx run is the command to run the extension in the current directory. T is target. In this case, we are starting at Firefox Android. And then let's see, does it do anything? Okay, so copy? Yeah, I'll show that later. Okay, well, while I'm at it, I'm starting screen copy in the background. So this is a Firefox for Android, currently showing something. When I ran the comment before, it showed that some parameters were missing. In this case, we need to select which device is being used. And then it still doesn't work. It goes on the Firefox for Android. On the Android device, there are multiple Firefox for Android applications. The IDs are listed here for convenience. In this case, I'm going to select Nightly. So the Phoenix is the code name for Nightly, and Firefox stands for the release version. There are more things such as beta and even non-Firefox builds. Okay, I launch it. There's a request to install the extension. I click somewhere, and I get a dialog, as expected. So now I'm going to repeat the same for desktop, just to see how easy it is. I could type Firefox desktop. By default, it launches Firefox desktop, because initially that is the goal of WebEx. Later, we expanded it to other browsers. Example.com typos. It works again. And for completeness, also Chromium. Example.com. And it works. Load the menu at this point?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to back to the slide for a bit. Okay. And now to the demo. So, as you can see from the extension management page, it's also possible to load it manually. Just for the sake of demonstration, I'm going to remove all extensions that were installed by the tool.
Can you speak up a bit more?
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I'm going to manually load extension. There was the original one we loaded, manifest.json. All files are there. And notice that there's some error.
Could you increase the size? I'll just pop in.
Sure. Go ahead, explain this part.
So at the moment, Chrome has formally dropped support for Manifest V2, or that's not quite, it's deprecated support for Manifest V2. So it's no longer possible to publish a new extension in the Chrome Web Store using Manifest V2. And in fact, it's been about a year since it was supported. Over the course of the remainder of this talk, we're going to be focusing specifically on Manifest V3, because if you're building a new extension, you have to use it.
Mm-hmm. And as you clearly see, this Chrome, it can still load Manifest V2 extensions. In the half of this year, they will start with experimenting to turn off Manifest V2 support, at which point it's not possible to load Manifest V2 extension in Chrome any longer. Firefox still continues to support Manifest V2. It hasn't deprecated Manifest V2 yet, so you can just load extension Firefox just fine.
I think it's also worth noting that Firefox does not yet have a deprecation timeline for Manifest V2 either, whereas Chrome has a kind of end-of-life timeline formally announced and is coming in the next 6 months.
Right. So the way to fix this would be to, switch to Manifest V3. The question is how to do that. So like you see, there's an error here. There was the original code that we started with. Manifest V2 was mentioned there. We bump it to Manifest V3, and then we try again. Just for the sake, since I've opened it anyway, I'm loading Manifest V3 extension. Okay, this was a manifest v2 one. I'm removing it since I don't care about it. This manifest v3. Okay, that was an old example. The new one.
Yeah, it still works.
Again. if I view this page, there's still some errors here. I'll get to that later.
Yeah.
The next part of the extension model that is very important are host permissions. In a previous example, we ran the extension on all websites. We requested to do so on all websites. And we bumped the extension to manifest v3, and it still worked in Chrome. What I didn't show yet is how to run extension on Firefox. Well, I did show how to, but not that I did so. So let's try again.
As Rob loads this up, one of the notable differences between in Firefox's support for manifest v3 is host permissions are limited by default. We want to encourage developers to go in the direction of giving users more control over where and when extensions run. So by default, the set of hosts that the extension declares aren't
granted by default.
Thank you.
So at install time, manifest v3 extensions do not get the permissions, unlike Chrome. That's a common source of confusion for extension developers. And as you just saw, I launched Firefox again with a manifest v3 extension. You click around, nothing happens. What you do see is that there is built-in extension UI in Firefox to control permissions. So if you enable the permission from this point and load it again, it will work. So that is the built-in UI in Firefox. Chrome has similar UI to disable it. So even if you currently think that your extension works in Chrome, it may not if, for example, the user has disabled it. Or maybe sometime in the far future, Chrome has also followed a similar approach. It's also worth noting, even though we only show Firefox and Chrome here in today's presentation, that Safari has also something special for host permissions. In fact, all host permissions are disabled by default. Safari takes the most strictest approach to host permissions for privacy reasons, meaning that you have to explicitly interact with the browser UI to allow the extension to run on the page. In a previous slide, I showed built-in browser UI to do so. Now I'm going to show how to do it in your own extension with the right context to get the user to convince the user to give you those permissions. To do so, in the manifest file, declare the options UI page. In this very simple extract of the options page, I show a label. This is just a very simple explanation. In reality, you may convince the user that they will win something. That they will get some useful functionality. Please do not mislead the user. and there's, for this sake, for the